Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I found it inspiring twice because I watched it once at home and then just now. I think it was incredible how the video brings out the incredible knowledge that God possesses of life and how to create life. I think it's amazing how the video brought out the power of God and His strength and how He is a God of balance and order and structure. Very inspiring. I hope you did enjoy it. Before I get into my message, I wanted to bring in two other additions from the announcement portion. The purpose of offering up the proposed amendments to the governing documents of the church is so that you, if you desire, as a member of the church, can give input and feedback on those government documents, and you're more than welcome to write a statement of support or question of those proposed changes, and they just ask that it not exceed 300 words. So I'll include those instructions with the other information that I said over there earlier. And also earlier, I was a little bit negligent. I mentioned that our son Kyle was up to visit, and with him is also a very fine young man and good friend of the family, Mr. Zach Hoover. So I didn't want to leave Zach out of that. Sorry about that, Zach. But what a powerful and inspiring movie we just saw. And it shows and displays even just a little bit of the reality of God's power. Our God that we worship, that we're gathered here today on His holy Sabbath to worship, is incredible. And His creation is proof of how incredible God is. The creation of God that we enjoy and see every day is a witness to God's majesty. It's a witness to how incredible God is. If you want to follow along, you can turn to Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. I want to read a passage here, the first six verses of Psalm 19. And I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation just because I feel that it gives a good representation of what is being brought out here in Scripture. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. And you can do that on your own, and probably you have done that at numerous times. I remember even as a young boy, and I would lay out under the stars at night with my friend, and we would just stare off into the endless space. It proclaims the glory of God every day and His craftsmanship. Verse 3, they speak without a sound or word. And that's true. The witness of God staring off into space, they declare God's glory and who He is every day without saying a word. Scripture goes on and says, their voice is never heard. Verse 4, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like radiant bridegroom waiting for his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. Verse 6, the sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. Truly, God's creation proclaims His glory. We need to make sure that we notice it, that we appreciate it, that we see it every day and see God in His creation. It is truly a witness and proof of Him and who He is. Creation tells us all about the attributes of God. And those attributes are many, and they're very inspiring. The creation proclaims to us and to all of mankind who God is. Today I would like to go through three, and there are so many, but today from my sermon time, I would like to go through three attributes of God. And these three attributes are brought out in vivid detail when you study and you look at and you consider the creation week. The first attribute is God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent, or he is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Omnipotent is spelled O-M-N-I-P-O-T-E-N-T. When you stop to consider the formation of the earth and the putting life on this earth in its so many varied forms, it's almost impossible to understand the power that's involved in creating this earth and life that lives on it. All-powerful means that absolutely nothing is impossible for God. Think about everything that goes on in life, your own personal life, and even in the lives of others in this world. There's so many happy times with people every day, and at the same time, there's so many sad moments in people's life every day. God is there, and he is in control, and his power is evident in all of those situations. Everything about God is a display of his awesome power. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. If you would turn there, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul understood the power of Jesus Christ and the power of God the Father. He said here in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul immediately proclaiming that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. You see, even the gospel message that we believe in, that we put in our heart, and that dwells in our mind and gives us hope of the future, is an example of God's power. The whole message of the gospel is one of the power of God and his ability to save mankind. Paul again says in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes," which is a requirement for salvation, "for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The gospel of God's coming kingdom to this earth is a message proclaiming the incredible plan and with it power of God and his kingdom, of who he is. It wouldn't do us any good to proclaim that there's a God and there's a Jesus Christ and then not see the incredible power that goes with their plan. God is all powerful and is proclaimed through the gospel message. The power that only God possesses to bring his creation to him. That's what God is doing, is bringing his creation to him. His creation needs to come to God because his creation has left God because of sin. Sin takes us far away from God. God's power, his plan, his gospel message is to bring his creation back into a relationship with him. God has the power to give us a part of himself. We can't give ourselves a part of ourselves to anyone, but God's power allows him to give a part of who he is, his Holy Spirit, to us, to mankind. He shares who he is with us. That's a display of God's power. God also has the power to grant eternal life. He has the incredible power to take our physical lives, our bodies, and one day change them to spirit that will never end. Spirit that will never end and a life that never ends. That's a part of that gospel message of the hope for mankind. And that gospel message, as I mentioned, is one of power. Our hope of eternal life is the gospel message that has come to us with great power. That hope of eternal life is incredible power that comes from God. We've all received our own personal, individual calling from God. Each and every one of us. And that calling from God came to each and every one of us in a little bit different way, didn't it? Each of our callings is very unique and very personal from God to you. He knew what He needed to bring into your life so that you could turn your life around and head it in His direction. He knew what you needed. It's very personal and very unique. While each of us may have heard the good news of the gospel from a man, whether it be Mr. Armstrong, whether it be one of the presenters on the Beyond Today program, maybe it was a friend or an acquaintance that you knew, maybe a family member, that power of the gospel message came to us from man somehow. But the power of it and the source of it coming to you is God. He may have worked through a man, through a program, through a TV show, through a radio program, but it's come from God to you. What you've received, what I've received, is not of man's devising. It's come to us by the very power of God through His love. And it's been very personal to each and every one of us. Some may think that this gospel message about being born into the family of God is hard to believe, hard to comprehend, hard to sit there and say, yeah, I'm ready to live the rest of my life for that goal. Many might even mock the message that comes from the gospel. But let's look what Christ said in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. As Christ often preached to many and to His disciples, many found His teachings very hard to believe, very hard to understand, hard to grasp. And they seemed impossible from man's perspective. The gospel message might seem impossible from man's perspective. But verse 23 says, then Jesus said to His disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ saying it might be hard for a wealthy person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we also know that Christ isn't necessarily speaking of just wealthy, physically speaking, but those that consider themselves wealthy, spiritually speaking. Verse 24, and again, Christ said, and again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Christ is talking about His gospel message and what the chance is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, it's easier for me to try to push a camel through the eye of a needle. And notice the disciples' reaction. Verse 25, when His disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It is possible with God to bring us to salvation. We need to be careful to not doubt God's power. The power that He has to deliver you to salvation, to eternal life, in a relationship with Him for eternity. Don't think that your calling, which is very personal and unique to you, is weak. It is filled with extreme power. and has come to you from the Almighty. The second thing that I would like to look at today, the second point about one of the attributes of God, is that God is omniscient. God is omniscient, which means God is all-knowing. Omniscient is spelled O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T. I-E-N-T. God is all-knowing. And that's what omniscient means. It means that God knows all things. He understands all things. There's nothing that comes before God or that he sees or he witnesses that he doesn't understand or that he doesn't have an answer to. When thinking about what went into the creation, it becomes overwhelmingly obvious that all of the earth and all of the life that were completed and put here on this earth came at the hand of an incredibly intelligent being. An intelligence that is far beyond the intelligence of mankind. We have all of this laid out before us every day. All before not just us, but all of mankind. And what is mankind doing with it? We are increasing and growing in knowledge about God's knowledge. Think about all the different sciences that man has put together and discovered and developed down through the years. All it is a reflection of what they've learned from God. None of this is of man's creation. It's all God's creation. And we just learn from it and take from it. And we should be amazed at how much God knows, how much he understands, amazed at his intelligence. I want to ask you to consider some amazing facts that I researched in preparation for my message today. I got these from a YouTube video entitled 10 Amazing Facts About Our World. I just want to share a few of them with you. Within 1 square mile of fertile soil, there contains more insects in that 1 square mile of fertile soil than all of humanity on the earth. That's incredible. What is there, 7 billion people in the world? And there's more insects than people on the earth in 1 square mile of fertile soil. Polar bears. Polar bears are so well insulated that they can't be seen through an infrared camera. Infrared cameras, if you don't know, pick up sources of heat. If you shine an infrared camera towards a polar bear, you don't see anything. There's no image. That's how well insulated they are. And I looked up a little more information about polar bears. Do you realize their skin is black? Their skin is black. They got those nice, big, thick, furry, white coats. But their skin is black. And how does that help them? Because the sun that they do get absorbs that heat through the black skin. And they are able to survive in temperatures that would wipe out most life on this planet. They endure temperatures to 90 below zero. Could man create something that is alive and could survive that? It shows God's incredible intelligence. What about us as humans? Did you realize you get a new skeleton every 10 years? I don't think mine's gotten any better. But supposedly it's new every 10 years. That means I've gone through at least 5 skeletons. Also from another website called everystudent.com. This is a kind of a reflection on even, it goes along with what Mr. Rothenbacher was talking about earlier. The earth is the perfect size. The earth's size and corresponding gravity holds a thin layer of mostly nitrogen and oxygen gases, only extending about 50 miles above the earth's surface. If the earth were smaller, an atmosphere would not be possible, like the planet Mercury. If the earth were larger, its atmosphere would contain free hydrogen like Jupiter. Earth is the only known planet equipped with an atmosphere of the right mixture of gases to sustain life, sustain plant, animal, and human life. I didn't do that. There we go. The Earth is located the right distance from the sun as well. Consider the temperature swings we encounter, roughly 30 degrees below zero to roughly 120 degrees Fahrenheit. If the Earth were any further away from the sun, we would all freeze. Any closer and we would all burn up. Even a fraction variance in the Earth's position to the sun would make life impossible here on Earth. And those are just a few examples of God's intelligence. A few examples of what He is able to do. When we consider the intelligence of God, His knowledge, His wisdom, it should fill us with awe. And I think for most of us it does. Psalms chapter 147, verse 5. Psalm chapter 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." His understanding is infinite. Psalms 147 talks about God's mighty power, which we talked about in the first attribute of God, and it brings in His incredible understanding, and that it is infinite. See, we all have limits on our understanding. I get past 2 plus 2 equals 4, I'm done. But not with God. His understanding goes on forever. His intelligence is never ending. How many times have you been at a point in your life where you just wish that there was someone you could talk to that would understand? That would understand what you're going through. Understand the hurt you feel. Understand even the happiness that you feel. Well, God does. God does understand. He has the knowledge and the ability to understand every possible emotion or thought that you're having. And He's willing for you to share it with Him. He's there to comfort you and to guide you to answers at those points in your life. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, if you would turn there. Romans chapter 11. Verse 33. We'll read down through the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 33 of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul's exclaiming his understanding of the depth and of the riches of God's wisdom and His knowledge. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. I can understand what Paul's saying after seeing that video. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around everything that God has created and done. Verse 34, "For who has known the mind of the Lord?" This is a quote from the book of Job. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor?" Who can understand God's mind? Who has ever sat above God and counseled Him? Is what's being asked here. Who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? Back in Job, it's claiming, who is God in debt to? Who does He owe anything to? He is the supreme creator, full of knowledge, full of power. Verse 36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." It's an incredible presentation and an offering of praise to God for who He is by Paul. God knows and understands every thought and feeling in your mind, and He knows the depth of your love for others. He does. He knows how deep and sincere your love is for others. He knows the depth of your sorrows for your past sins. He knows. He can read and understand your heart. probably better than you and I can understand our own heart. That is God's power. That is His knowledge and His understanding. He completely understands you with this level of knowledge. He and only He is able to comfort you the way you will benefit the most. You see, when each of us need comfort, it comes to us in different ways. You might need comforted in a different way than I do. I know when I'm sick, some people, when they're sick, they don't like to have anyone else around them. Just leave me alone and let me be in my misery. But others want to have companionship. They want somebody there with them to share that difficult moment. God knows what you need. He knows how to supply your needs, and He'll guide you to where you receive the most comfort in your life. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. This is an incredible chapter in Psalm 139. I wish we had time to go through the whole thing, but we don't. It's a psalm from David, who truly was a man after God's own heart. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm 139. O Lord, You have searched me and know me. David knew and understood his relationship with God. He knew that God knew himself to the depth of who he was as a person. O Lord, You have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know every time I go to bed, every time I get up out of bed. You understand my thought that is afar off, sitting there gazing off into the distance, thinking about life or thinking about a problem. God knows it. You comprehend my path and my lying down. God understands the direction you're heading in your life. And He works with you through your prayers and your hopes and your dreams to lead you to Him first, but also to your own personal goals. Going on in verse 3, and You are acquainted with all of my ways. David, God knew David, and He knows you through and through. Verse 4, there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. It's beyond his understanding. Thank you very much. If I'm running out of microphones, it's time to shut down, isn't it? David thoroughly knew how well God knew him. He really did know that God knew him through and through. There's a comfort that comes knowing and understanding how much God knows you, and to what depth He knows you. That gives us comfort. It gives us a sense of peace, especially during difficult times in our life. When you're faced with something difficult in your life, the first thing that you want is somebody that understands. And God is that someone. The third attribute of God that we'll discuss today is God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. I won't spell omnipresent. You probably have that one down. But God is everywhere. That's what omnipresent means, that God is everywhere. The world teaches us. What does the world teach us? The world teaches us that God and Christ are where? Right here in this room, sitting in these chairs, surrounding everything about us? No. The world teaches us that God and Jesus Christ are way off in heaven somewhere. But that's the message from this world. The message that God and Jesus Christ are far from mankind. But the truth is that God is everywhere at all times. God is everywhere at all times. Now, certainly God does sit on His throne in heaven with Jesus Christ at His right hand. But His Spirit and His presence fills the entire earth. They are in heaven. That is their abode. But they are, their Spirit and their presence fills the entire earth. Even at creation, when the earth was without form and void, there was nothing here. What is the first thing that we're taught in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? It says that the Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters. That's when the earth was nothing, and God's Spirit was there upon the surface of the waters. And those waters covered all the earth at that time. He was here on this earth from the very beginning of His start of creation. Stay right there. You should still be in Psalms 139. I want to pick up the story in verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. David asked, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." It makes no difference to God. He doesn't need the light or the darkness like man does. God is there for us wherever we are. He is always with us. He is throughout this earth. If He was here when there was nothing, when it was without form and it was void, He is certainly here to this day. Satan would love us to have, would love us to believe that God is far from us. He wants you to have that image in your mind that God is just up there in heaven, sitting on His throne, and not all around us at the same time. He would love us to believe that He is far from us. He wants us to believe that it's hard for us to reach God, to have communion with Him, to have conversation with Him, to spend time with God. He wants you to think of it, that it's a tough task, but it's not, because God is always with us. When you think that way, it creates doubt and places distance in your relationship with God. We don't want to have distance in our relationship with God. We need to live in the reality that God is always with us. And that reality is that God is at your side at all times, every moment of your life. Believe nothing else, that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll read verses 23 and 24. Notice what God says about Himself. Verse 23 of Jeremiah 23. "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" God knows that He is omnipresent. He knows that He is always with you everywhere you're at, that His Spirit completely fills this earth. There's no hiding from God. We need to know in our minds and in our hearts that God is with us everywhere. He tells us so from His Word. God's presence not only fills this heaven and this earth, but it is overflowing beyond this heaven and this earth. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. You can put it in your notes. I'll just read it to you just for the sake of time. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. Notice what Solomon's thoughts are as he was preparing the temple of God. And his thoughts concerning God's presence. Solomon said, "But who is able to build a temple since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him?" That was Solomon's focus on building a temple. He said, "Who can build you a temple as if to hold him in, hold God within it?" He said, "Since your presence flows out beyond the heavens of heavens." God's presence is absolutely everywhere, all the time. I can't discuss the nature and presence of God without turning to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. I love this scripture because it tells me and all of us what God desires and is looking for. It tells us about a little bit about who God is. Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne." Absolutely, that's God's throne is in heaven. "The earth is my footstool," again showing his presence here. "Where is the house that you will build me?" That's a question coming from God to each of us. He's saying, "Where is the home that you will build for me, where I can dwell with you? And where is the place of my rest?" He's not talking about his throne in heaven. He's not talking about the earth, which is his footstool. Verse 2, "For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." God is looking for that kind of a home, a place where he can dwell, a place where he can come at rest, for that kind of a man or woman. Who is of a contrite heart and who is of a poor spirit, not an arrogant spirit. God's presence is everywhere. What is the one place that God desires to be? He desires to be in your heart, in your mind, in your life, every day, resting there, hearing your thoughts, exchanging conversation with you, helping you, guiding you, comforting you. That is God's desire. We need to make sure that we have developed a home suitable for him, and he gives us what type of home that needs to be. A home of humbleness. Have a good place for him to dwell. And he wants to dwell within you and I. As wonderful and awe-inspiring as this physical creation is, and it really is, it's very inspiring, very humbling to see the power, the presence, and the incredible knowledge of God out in creation. As wonderful and awe-inspiring as this physical creation is, there's nothing that compares physically with the creation that God is doing in you now. Nothing in comparison. Turn with me, if you would, for the final scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul had an incredible understanding of God and who he was or who he is. And notice what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." For this reason he bows before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit into the inner man. He's saying that he is praying, bowing before God, and ask God to give you strength to the depth of who you are, right into your heart. And there's a purpose for that. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just reflects right back to Isaiah 66. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love from the beginning of who you were created to be, it started with the love of God and Jesus Christ. Your existence started with the love of God and Jesus Christ for you. You're rooted and grounded, placed in the ground at the beginning of with God's love. Verse 18, that it may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. And it's talking about the love of God, to understand how incredible God's love is. Verse 19, to know that the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, we watched that video and we saw the knowledge of God brought out in His creation. And He's saying, as incredible as that knowledge is, the love of Jesus Christ is far greater. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, there's nothing more important than love. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the fullness of God is just that. It is love. It's all through and a part of His being, of who He is. Verse 20, now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do everything that we ask and that we think. All of our hopes, all of the things that we work through and suffer through, all of our goals, He's able to bring them all to pass. According to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church. By Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Have a great rest of the Sabbath day.